This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou katoa, kua huhi mai nei, mō tēnei whai kōrero o tātou. My name is Peter Barron, and I am the radio pharmacist, and I'm here on OAR 105.4 FM every week. Over the next half hour, we will talk about how and why and when to use medicines and other matters concerning your health. If you missed the show or wish to listen to today's show or previous shows, these are available on podcast. I'm always happy to talk about any specific issues or questions that you have, and you can contact me at The Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or on my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. Nō reira, nō mai, haere mai, and let's get started. And kia ora and welcome. That will make a lot easier if I take my mask off. I won't be so muffled. So thank you for joining me, the radio pharmacist, here on OAR today. This fairly wonderful Tuesday. The weather's certainly taking a turn for the better, which is great. So back to the normal topical things for today. Of course, COVID. We're approaching, or in some areas we've actually passed that magical 90% vaccination rate for the first vaccine. Now what we've got to do is get up to 90% double vaccinated of eligible people. And that's a target that certainly is in sight for much of the country now. But it still does leave some major gaps, and we can't afford to sit and rest on our laurels. The government is going to introduce its new traffic light system, which is certainly going to mean a lot more freedoms, particularly in the North Island. But it'll mean more freedoms for us if we can get to green as well. South Island's still looking good. I think we've dodged a few bullets at times around Christchurch. Probably we should expect that sooner or later we're going to see some Delta variants of the COVID virus in the South Island. It's almost inevitable. As we open the borders, it's going to happen. But we're probably moving from, hopefully, fingers crossed, from a pandemic situation to an endemic situation. And increasingly, provided we keep up those vaccination rates, we're going to be able to control and live with the virus, because that's what we're going to have to do ultimately. So I still strongly urge anybody that has not yet had their first COVID vaccination, please go and get it. We still are significantly at risk, and I keep making the point, do you want to be the person who's responsible for transmitting this virus to your partner, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mum, your dad, your children, your workmates, or your grandparents? And that's the stark choice that faces us. People are casting this. I'm dismayed and distressed at some of the groups of people who are opposed to vaccination. They clearly don't read history, or they don't have a concern for history. When we think back to the huge problems that influenza caused, I think something like a third of the world's population probably died from the last major influenza pandemic in 1918-1920. We forget, if you're under 50, go and talk to your parents and your grandparents about the polio epidemic in New Zealand. If you're older than that, talk about measles, the measles epidemic. If you have whānau who are Māori or Pacifica, and particularly Māori, ask them to talk about their family histories of the devastation that was caused with the influenza virus. If you've got friends who are from Samoa, talk to them about the devastation that measles caused. These are major problems, and we can't afford to muck around with them. Everybody's got their rights. Yes, we do. But there is all such a thing as the collective good. And in this particular case, we're looking at the collective good. And there's sometimes that the collective good does trump the individual right. Now, I wouldn't, I'd put myself down as having been fairly left-wing and fairly radical all of my life. And I certainly have had my issues with authority, but in this particular case, this is not about authority. This is about thinking about your friends, your family, your colleagues, and your community, and saying, am I prepared to play my part? Now, as I've said before, nobody is going to force your arm to have a vaccination, but you can bet that with the way everything's going, that if you don't have the vaccination, then it's going to, there's some things you're not going to be able to do. In New Zealand, they've just announced this morning that they'd previously announced internationally that you would have to prove vaccination, or you'd have to have negative PCR tests. And they've just announced that domestically that's going to apply from, I think, in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, where they're going to say domestically you either show that you're double vaccinated, which you're going to be able to do using the New Zealand app and the combination of that and the Ministry of Health vaccination certificate, which they're working on combining, or you're going to have to show a negative PCR test 3 days before you fly. Now, I don't think that's at all unreasonable. If you want to be able to go into a restaurant, or if you want to become able to come to the supermarket, then I don't think it's unreasonable that you have to show that you've been vaccinated or that you've got a negative PCR test. Now, I'm sure that there's groups of people, I know there are groups of protesters around the country, but I think mixing up ideology here and practicality. This is an international health crisis. There are over 5 million people who have died because of COVID. And that's probably grossly underreporting it. I saw some information out of Russia the other day which suggests that the official Russian figures are probably underreported by two-thirds. And there's a suggestion that the number of people that have died in Russia, for instance, probably equals or exceeds the number of people that have died in the US. Now, these are, in both cases, are reasonably well-developed, sophisticated societies. And to have that number of people dying effectively unnecessarily is just crazy. So, look, I do strongly urge you, as always, if you haven't had your first vaccination and you're listening to this, then please think about your community. Think about the people you interact with and go get that jab in the arm. Because even at 90% of the eligible population, that still means 10% of our eligible population won't have been vaccinated. That's 500,000 people. That's 500,000 people. And added to that, hopefully are about to get approval for the 5 to 11-year-olds to get vaccinated. They're not part of that eligible population at the moment. So we've still got a significant chunk of our population, probably even at the 90% level, we've probably still got 20, I think perhaps touch over 20% of our population won't have been vaccinated. And that represents a fairly big target for this virus. As everybody says, this virus is very tricky, and it's seeking out, it's becoming a disease of the unvaccinated. That's the clear evidence that's emerging from hospital admissions. It's the clear evidence that's emerging from Auckland. And it is becoming a disease of the unvaccinated. So if you've got friends, if you've got workmates, if you've got family who are either vaccine hesitant or anti-vax, then I think it's about time that you started laying out some realities for them. And I'll lay out the reality again of a young colleague of mine. I spoke about him last week. I'm obviously not going to identify him. He's not anti-vax, but he's certainly vaccine hesitant. And he's been told in no uncertain terms, as the way he told it, that his family have told him that unless he gets double vaccinated, then regrettably he's not welcome. That's a bit of tough love, and particularly in the case of his grandmother, who he's very close to. She's told him specifically, because she's at risk, that as much as it hurts her, she's not prepared to let him visit her until he's vaccinated. So he's having to make a tough choice, and he's also having to face the prospect that he might not be able to work in his job, because if the organisation he works for mandates that all the workers are going to have to be vaccinated if they're going to be customer-facing, then that is the situation. We've just received final notification today as pharmacists. There's an order from the government that all health workers are going to have to prove vaccination. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I know that some people do. I know some people are resisting it. But at the end of the day, that's the reality of what we do. I certainly don't want to be any more at risk than I am in going to work. I don't want my staff being at risk when they go to work, because there are people out there who insist on not being vaccinated. So that's the other good news in terms of COVID is that we've seen some rapid development of some effective treatments. I know that Pharmac have purchased 60,000 doses, I think, of one of the very effective antivirals, and there are other drugs in the pipeline at the moment. I see Pfizer; they're doing very well out of this. They've developed not only their vaccine, but they're now developing treatments, etc. So we've got some fairly skilled scientists working out there. And I'm happy to say that as a pharmacist, I mean, these are pharmaceutical companies. These are companies that make pharmaceuticals. And they're making huge, huge, huge investment in protecting us. Yes, they're for-profit companies, because the reality of modern medicine is that very few of the developments that we have come out of non-for-profits. There may be government research organisations, government grants, universities who develop the concepts. But in order to take the commercial risk, we're talking, any time we develop a new vaccine or we develop a new drug, we're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars. And the reality is that most of the products that come out of the research labs don't get to market, because they don't get through the trials. They either prove not to be effective, or they have side effects which are unacceptable, etc. So, but there is hope, and I mean, the great thing in New Zealand, people may be critical of some of the steps that have been taken, but we haven't seen a pandemic like this in well over 100 years, and we certainly haven't seen it in the modern-day world. So we should be grateful. I think we should be grateful to our health professionals. We should be grateful to our government. We should be grateful to everybody and to the community at large. You should be grateful that we've done so well. My sister is presently travelling through Europe on work, and she was making the point to me in an email the other day that she was in Czechoslovakia, which is next door to Slovenia, and they've got 2 million population, and they've got about 4,000 cases a day. In Germany, they're recording about 40,000 cases a day. In New Zealand, we've still been managed to keep it under 200 a day, with only a couple of deaths. So we're doing remarkably well, and I think we deserve to be congratulated for that. So, folks, let's go to a little bit of a promo, and then we'll have a musical interlude.
The Radio Pharmacist, sharing tips and practical advice on the management of a range of healthcare matters every Tuesday at noon on ORFM Dunedin. Taking the time to explore some of the bigger issues around health and well-being in simple, easy language we can all understand. The Radio Pharmacist, bold, innovative, sometimes controversial, and not afraid to tell us as it is. Tune in Tuesdays at noon on 105.4 FM and 1575 AM, or online at oar.org.nz. That's The Radio Pharmacist, every week on Tuesdays at noon.
Times that you've given me. words are all in my mind. And now that we've come to the end of our rainbow, there's something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you. Yes, you once, twice.
And you're back with Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist, on oar.org.nz. We're here every Tuesday. If you do happen to miss today's show or you want to listen to past shows, then please feel free to go on the OAR website, click on podcasts, type in on the search bar Radio Pharmacist, and you can listen away to your heart's content. There are also links from my Facebook page from radiopharmacist.co.nz. And from my website, sorry, that's my website, radiopharmacist.co.nz, and the Radio Pharmacist Facebook site. To finish off today, I wanted to talk some more about the cannabinoids. Most of us probably think of cannabis. We had that referendum last year, which unfortunately didn't quite get across the line. That was a major disappointment. There are a whole lot of people who use cannabis and its products for all sorts of reasons. And I'm talking medicinal reasons here. I'm not talking social reasons. There's obviously a great number of people who use cannabis for social reasons. The something that probably I have spoken before about it, but we have in our body something called the endocannabinoid system. Now, you've probably all have heard, you've heard about your nervous system, you've probably heard about the central nervous system, and things like that. Well, the endocannabinoid system is even more important than that. We've only discovered it in about the last 20 or 30 years. But the endocannabinoid system is absolutely vital to our normal functioning. It sits, if you like, over the top of everything else. I was just reading a description. It describes it as sort of the traffic cop. It's the place that control the rest of our neurotransmitters, the rest of our nervous system. And the unfortunate thing is that it's got tied up in all of this hype and this nonsense about the THC component of it, which is the psychoactive component. And that's the one that people use for their social pleasure, if you like. So there are two parts to the cannabinoids. You've got CBD and THC. Now, the reality is that one doesn't work without the other. In New Zealand, we have legalized CBD, and there's allowed to be a minimal amount of THC in that. Until October, we were able to use imported product, but now the government has stopped that, and now we've got to – there's a whole range of companies who are registering products at the moment. And I'm pleased to say that the first of those companies have got two of their products to market. So, and the price has dropped quite a bit compared to what it was. I'm hoping the price will come down more. In the 25 milligram, we're probably, it depends on which pharmacy you go to, but you're probably looking in the vicinity of $80 to $100 a month. Put that into perspective, it's less than a cup of coffee a day if you're buying a cup of coffee. For the stronger one, you're probably looking at about twice that. I'm sure that market's going to increase. That's been the overseas experience. There are a whole range of New Zealand companies in the process of getting MedSafe certification for their products, and I certainly expect to see a whole lot more of these products available probably early in the first quarter of next year. So coming back to the endocannabinoid system, it's got, we know at this stage there are at least two different receptors. I won't bore you with the details of what they are, but the way that I like to describe them to people is that, as I said, if you think about this as the set of traffic lights or the pointsman on duty who controls an intersection. Now, this intersection is the one that controls everything that we do. So most everything that we do, and it's very high-level stuff. So just imagine it as an intersection with a set of traffic controlled by a set of traffic lights. Now, those traffic lights, obviously, you've got a red, you've got a green, and you've got an orange or a yellow, which indicates that they're about to change. But quite clearly, if the power goes out, or the lights go down, the intersections get clogged and it doesn't work properly. And it's the same with the endocannabinoid system. So what happens is the two receptors we know about, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more of them, they act like the red light and the green light, and the intersection doesn't work without both of them. So that's really, really important, and it's something you're going to hear more and more and more about. Cannabis has been used around the world. It's probably one of the oldest medicinal plants that we know. It's probably been used for at least 5,000 years and will continue to be used. And what we've done in New Zealand, whilst it was illegal, the people who grow cannabis were doing very well because they were like good farmers. They were crossbreeding, like good gardeners. They were crossbreeding and pushing up the THC content, which is the psychoactive one. But as I've said to you, the CBD, and so CBD got caught up in that. CBD does not have any psychoactive effect, but it certainly does have a major effect for many people in terms of their health and their well-being. And as I said, you need a little touch of THC, and there will be a little bit of touch of THC with your CBD. So keep your ears out for the word about the endocannabinoid system. It's fundamentally important to us. These products are now becoming widely available in pharmacy. I'm well aware that a lot of doctors still won't prescribe them because they don't feel comfortable prescribing, which is a little surprising. There's a whole mass of evidence out there. If you do want to get a prescription, then because they are prescription medicines, they're not funded by Pharmac at this stage, so you will have to buy them. And as I said, the starting entry point's about probably the cost of a cup of coffee each day. So it's not too severe. And it will go up depending upon the amount that you need to use. So if you need to know any more, go on and talk to your friendly pharmacist, or you can send me some questions on it. If you want to get a prescription, then ask your doctor. If your doctor won't prescribe for you, call into most pharmacies and we will be able to probably point you in the direction of doctors who are comfortable with prescribing cannabis. That doesn't mean to say that you will get it, but at least you'll have some members of the medical profession who are open to prescribing for you. So, folks, look, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to me today, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Well, folks, all good things must come to an end, and we are out of time for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you found today's kōrero useful. If you have a question for me or a subject you would like me to discuss on the show, please message me on the Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or at my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. If you missed today's show or previous shows, they're available on podcast at oar.org.nz. This is Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist, signing off OAR 105.4 FM for today. So until next Tuesday at noon, ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.